science.
My armpit itches. I look like a monkey right now. It's because I shaved my armpits yesterday.
Well.
And my legs.
I have no sympathy for you.
Feel my leg. It was very hairy.
I had that problem a few days ago. Yesterday.
Spike in the level of my laughter.
Were you recording?
Yes.
Oh, motherfucker. I should have known.
Ouchie.
Are you a good witch or a bad bitch? Bad
bitch, bad bitch. I've been a rebel all my life.
We will not remain hidden figures. We have names.
Oh, if it's naughty to ruse your lips, shake your shoulders, shake your hips, and let a lady confess I want to be best.
I didn't kid you, did I? Well, now you know.
Sorry.
It is what it is.
I cannot replicate the organic hilarity that is beer experimenting. Yum. Yum. Mm. Yum. Mm.
Yum.
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 Yum. Hello.
How are you right now?
I'm punchy. It's a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Is it the afternoon now?
Yeah.
Shit!
We did it!
We did it! We made it to the afternoon!
Yay! We had avocado toast.
Oh, God, it was so good.
We had coffee.
We did.
We're doing good.
We're doing great.
Good morning.
Good morning, afternoon.
Good
we
afternoon.
Just literally said it was afternoon, and oops. Now we fucked it up.
Oh, well. On with the show.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yay!
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome. To Good Witches.
Bad Bitches.
Hell yeah.
To yet another episode.
Yeah.
Yet another episode of this goodness that you love.
Yeah, yeah. Today is my episode.
Happy Hannah episode.
Happy Hannah episode. I'm really excited to talk about my lady because I promised that I would do somebody not from World War II. The World War II
I'm sorry,
era.
Was that a shade?
No, this is the promise that I made in my last episode.
I believe you said you didn't want to do somebody from, like, this last century.
Yeah, I said
but
ancient.
Now you're shading World War II era.
Because that's all I've done. Well, I guess that's all we've done.
That is shade. Shade.
No,
shade.
I did Lily Langtree, so thanks.
Oh, yeah. See, you win, and I need to catch up.
But you have something you need to tell me first that apparently I'm gonna like.
Yeah,
story.
I have a thing to read. So apparently I'm gonna get in the habit of finding things online to read to you.
Great.
You
find funny things.
I know. So Storify is it's a website that basically puts Twitter threads together in one place
cool.
So that you can like find them. And this one is a thread from a writer named Mickey Kendall, who I don't know. She's a journalist from what I understand. I don't know that I know of any books that she's written, but I might be wrong.
Cat's going crazy.
Cat is going crazy.
That's nothing new.
So she does this every once in a while where she'll tweet a long thread with a long story, and they're always really good because she's a writer. But this one was from last year. So I'm just going to read the whole thread to you.
Okay.
Okay. So it starts with, I realized I have never told the story of the woman who told me about murdering her husband. I have a face that makes people tell me things. In another life, I would have been that cop that gets all the confessions from people. Anyway, this was back in 1999. I remember the year because I was super pregnant with kid number one and crabby about not seeing my feet. Anyway, I was on a bus coming back from downtown, and it got stuck in traffic. There was an accident, I think, or something. I was sitting next to this older white woman, and we started chatting, mainly because kid number one kept kicking, and she was watching my stomach rumba. It was... I like that line. It was one of those very convivial stranger chats at first. Weather, questions about the baby, you know, strangers on a bus stuff.
Yes.
She asked about my husband, and I was already pretty sure I had made a huge mistake in staying married, so I think I said something about it. Nothing major, just that, well, we're young and times are hard, and I don't know, kind of shruggy thing. And she got a faraway look in her eye.
Uh-oh.
Now she looked like Whistler's grandma. Very sedate, white hair, little sweater set, and a skirt kind of a grandma. Just adorable, really. I'm trying to stuff my little emotional pill back into my face and apologizing for making her uncomfortable.
Sorry.
I'm gonna do that one over. I'm gonna sip my beer and I'm gonna do that one over. Oh my god. Deanna's rudely interrupting me with her burps.
Oh, that one just came out of me unexpectedly, so I wasn't like I pushed it out.
Gas happens.
Gas happens. All right.
Hashtag gas happens.
Okay. Until that t-shirt comes out, I'm going to finish this. Oh, God. Okay. I'm trying to stuff my little emotional spill back into my face and apologizing for making her uncomfortable, and she says, I had one like that. I was very young when I married him, just barely 17. He was supposed to be 29. He wasn't. He was 39.
Oh, gross!
He was a liar.
She was 16 mm-hmm. and, like, just barely 17?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So Mickey goes on to say, there is nothing scarier than a sedate, sweet-faced grandma who says, he was a liar, like she's chewing out a heart. Nothing. So because I ain't shit, I settle in for this story with a, well, what happened? And she's like, oh, that was the one I poisoned. Now the details get a little fuzzy because I got lightheaded and had to take some deep, calming breaths. But here's the rough outline, okay? They got married. She moved from her family's farm to Chicago with him right before World War II, and he abused her mercilessly. He beat her for everything, whether it was his dinner or his laundry or getting too good or getting too good of a cut of meat at the butcher. Just awful.
Why? Because it would be expensive?
Expensive.
Oh.
Excuse me. I'm interrupting with burps.
You're interrupting your own story with your own... Gas happens!
Gas happens! Meanwhile...
Now we have to keep the burp in.
Yeah, shit. Meanwhile, although he's bigger and stronger than her, he's got a bad heart. How bad? No idea, but he had pills for it. And she's convinced that she can't stay, but she's in a strange city, and she's never really worked except on a farm. So, she gardens a lot. He's always worrying about money, and she tries to make him happy with raising some chickens and whatever. None of it works. The butcher's son is nice, always gives her a good cut of meat, and he looks at her with kind eyes, her words, not the meanness of her husband.
Uh-oh.
He's also got a little insurance policy. Not a lot. He was too cheap for that, but...
The
husband. But enough that she would be okay if he would just die. He doesn't, but he might kill her, or at least she felt like he would at the time. And there's her garden. She's got Jimson weed and nightshade. Not on purpose, but the yard was untended when she started gardening, and weeding is a chore. Plus, there's some foxglove in the neighbor's yard. Her one escape is reading when she can, and she loves mysteries. So she starts trying to poison him. She didn't kill him at first. He just got sick. Sick was good. He stopped hitting her. But sick wasn't enough, really. Not when the butcher's son is so nice and her husband's a liar.
No.
Now, I do not know which thing killed him, because she didn't know. Her husband liked spicy food. What that means in the white Midwest, I don't even know. And the doctor kept saying he needed more vegetables, so she put vegetables in his stew. Some leaves, maybe some mushrooms, and it went. Into a batch of stew that she made for him. Just for him. He loved it. Ate it all, and the bread, and she even gave him some hot tea. You know, for sleep.
It was probably a tea with some of those weeds in it.
I think all of it had those weeds in it. I think every last bit of that had the weeds in it. After he was asleep, she cleaned everything up, went out, finished her weeding, even helped the neighbor with hers, as you do. She had some plain bread and butter for dinner. Too tired to cook again, don't you know? And besides, all the dishes were already clean. She didn't even go into bed. He was sleeping so peacefully, and she didn't even go into bed. He was sleeping so peaceful, and why, she just didn't want to disturb him. She sat up and read, dozed off in a chair. She got up the next morning, and wouldn't you know, she needed to get some things done around the house before he woke up, as you do. I'd estimate that she left him to rest, since he'd been feeling so poorly, quote-unquote, for at least 15 hours. Then she went in to wake him. He was sleeping so hard, and well, he had been sick for weeks. So she went on about her errands and chatting with the neighbors, and that house was sparkling clean by the time she checked in on him again, with plenty of supplies laid in, as you do. He never woke up. She called the doctor. He came, told her that it was the long illness and the spicy food just wore out her husband's heart, and that was it. There was the small funeral, of course, and her family came up for that. See how things work out? Her house was already set for a funeral. And after, she had some money, enough to live on and to eventually
marry the butcher's boy.
And eventually she and that nice butcher's boy started walking out together after a time. And her parents had some animals and she had that money, so they had a good start for a marriage. Why her first husband had owned that house, they didn't live in it, but they cleaned it up. That's weird.
She just keeps saying why, like, why?
I know. Why? Her first husband had owned that house. They didn't live in it, but they cleaned it up and rented it out, and they had a good life until he died, right after their 50th anniversary. He never raised a hand to her, and they never had a moment of conflict that couldn't be resolved with words, and he even cooked. They had kids and grandkids, and she was the nicest old lady, but she poisoned the fuck out of that man and never regretted it.
Holy shit.
Anyway, I had to read that to you because I just thought that was...
Holy shit!
Can you imagine sitting down on the bus and, like, this little old lady's like, here, let me tell you the story about how I poisoned my husband.
Holy shit!
I know. I love that.
I don't even have...
There's, like, not even that much you can say. It's just, you know, a woman's gotta do what a woman's gotta do.
I guess.
I guess. Yeah, Ben, you didn't hear me say that.
Uh-oh.
What?
Ben doesn't abuse you, though.
No, and I got no nightshade. You're welcome. We know about the lady who poisoned her husband.
Tell me about another lady, Hannah.
I'm gonna.
Your okay. Old-timey lady.
My old-timey
I gotta
lady.
Burp again. Hold on.
Do it.
I'm so gross.
Gas happens.
Yes. That's what this episode's gonna be called. Okay. Hannah, tell me about your old-timey lady.
Hey.
Who she be?
Hey. I'm going to butcher some parts of her name because I have no idea how to pronounce this, and I didn't bother to look it up, so I apologize. Her name is Lady Anne Farquharson McIntosh.
Farquharson.
But Lady Anne McIntosh is generally how she goes, so... We don't have to worry too much about that. But.
Cool.
All right. So, I'm just going to dive right in. Scotland in 1745.
Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Scotland in 1745 was the year of the Jacobite Rising.
Otherwise, Outlander!
Hell yes. I kind of was, like, hoping that people would be interested in it for that, you know, also that reason. Like, they
Where
can identify.
Where is Jamie? Where is James Fraser? Is he in this story?
Let's pretend that he is.
Great.
Okay.
Talk about Lady McIntosh.
Okay. For the most part...
It's a podcast about ladies. What? That's James Fraser.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
Fuck off with James Fraser bullshit.
Let's talk about Claire. No, okay. Let's talk about Lady
Let's talk about this lady. Oh, my
I'm
God.
I'm sorry. Okay. You just got me excited. You're talking about Jacobite Rebellion, and now here I am deep in this
I
world.
Know. Well, you're going to love the story, too.
Fabulous.
Also, because I think she has red hair. Yeah. So, Scotland in 1745 was the year of the Jacobite Rising, otherwise known as the 45, apparently. Mm. For the most part, it's known as the year that Charles Edward Stuart finally failed in his attempts to seize the British throne.
Yeah, he was a pansy.
He was, yeah, he was really not good at his job. He also apparently failed to invade France and ultimately fled back to Scotland after all of his shenanigans, a wanted man.
Stuart.
Dewey.
Charles yep. Stuart.
Oh, yeah, you're going to have to do all of the accents in this episode, because I'm not good at Scottish accents, unless unprompted.
Sort of. I'm only sort of good
I'm
at it.
Really?
We'll
try. They're hard.
They are.
So during his lifetime, I just thought this was funny, because, as you say, he was a pansy. During his lifetime, he was also known as the Young Pretender, or the Young Chevalier, but in popular...
Chevalier.
Chevalier, whatever.
Maybe, I don't know. I think that means horse. So I probably just said the wrong... I'm not reading your paper. I'm the worst today. I'm so sorry.
Just, you know, gas happens.
You just made me very excited.
I
suddenly found my energy.
You bitch.
Excuse me, my episode was great.
Your episode was lovely. After fleeing Britain, Charlie ended up in Scotland, his home turf.
Scotland.
And thank God, because the Brits were none too pleased with him. He had a bounty on his head.
Of course he did, because he tried to overthrow the throne. Uh-huh. He's been plotting it for his whole life.
Yep. Well, there were apparently a lot of people who still believed in the Jacobite cause who were willing to put up a fucking fight, and one of those ladies was Lady Anne McIntosh, later fondly known as Colonel Anne.
Oh.
Yeah, honestly, I wrote, if she'd been the one leading his uprising and not Charlie, she probably would have won the damn thing for Scotland.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe that's presumptuous, but I don't care.
You know, my thought on it, because I'm an expert, because I watch Outlander, clearly, is that, the cause wasn't necessarily a lost cause. It was just the wrong person.
Charlie was a fucking idiot.
He was an idiot. He was self-absorbed. He just wanted to be king. He didn't give a shit about the people, right? But he liked that they supported him.
Yeah. Well, and I have some fucking goofy stories about some stupid shit he did. So I took a lot of this from Rejected Princesses. Thank you, Rejected Princesses, because they did a lot of research in books that were not available online. My God, Kat. So thank you, Rejected Princesses, for all of your information. And I also took some from various clan websites, like Clan McIntosh websites.
That's awesome.
I was telling Ben this yesterday. A lot of the articles about the specific, like, event that she's most known for don't even fucking mention her.
What?
It's really insane, because she was the mastermind of it anyway. So I had to do a lot of deep diving, but the clans still love the fuck out of her.
Good. Like,
they adore her.
Well, Clan McIntosh.
Clan McIntosh is, yeah, they love this story. Okay, so, Anne, Farquharson.
Farquharson? Farquharson. What?
So, Anne was born to rebel, a.k.a. Jacobite clan, Farquharson.
Farquharson.
Whatever. I wrote, Lord, that's going to be fun to say 50 times. And married another rebel clan, McIntosh. So the Scots were very proud of their clannishness and their heritage and their bonnie Prince Charlie, even though he was a bit of a lunkhead. So
he wasn't raised in Scotland.
Yeah. So this was deeply ingrained in her, this like love of her country and the Jacobite cause. So money became an issue for her and her husband at some point. So her husband Angus decided to join. Angus! What? Why is that funny?
It's so Scottish.
It's so Scottish.
Angus McIntosh.
He ended up joining an English peacekeeping force to make money.
What?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So to like keep them afloat, he joined an English peacekeeping force. What's crazy is that a bunch of the websites that I found, again, failed to talk about the fact that this peacekeeping force was made up of Scottish clansmen, and that Anne was the one who recruited his entire peacekeeping force so that he could become
particularly effective.
No! Well, and it's
like,
you'll
let's
see,
hire the rebels.
You'll
to
see
hire
why it wasn't.
More rebels to keep the peace against the rebels.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. So she rode around dressed as a dude and recruited 100 or 97 out of the 100 people that he needed to join his force so that he could qualify as captain.
She recruited 97%.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Of the people he needed to qualify as.
Yes. Okay. She dressed herself as a man and she went door to door and she was like, yo, guys, you want to work.
Yo, I'm a dude. You want to support this McIntosh dude, bro. He's chill.
Yeah. You make a little money, you know, you police the clans a little bit. Like
but wait, but wait, but wait. What about the Jacobite cause? Oh, no. It's cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. Just trust me. It's
you don't
cool.
have to worry
Just
about
join.
That.
You'll
it's
find
fine.
Out. You'll see.
Yeah. So she recruited 97 of those people. They called it the Black Watch, and it was a force raised from loyal clans to police the Highlands in the aftermath of the 1715 Jacobite uprising. So this became a regular army regiment in 1739 and fought against the Jacobites during the 1745 uprising.
Like the Battle of Culloden?
Uh-huh. Yes. Which was a problem, obviously, when Charlie Stuart started trying to lay claim to the throne, and it was a problem for Anne, who was, you know, a Jacobite,
yeah.
And living in her husband's home at Moy, while he was off, you know, captaining this peacekeeping force. So Charlie wasn't the brightest dude, but he was fucking Scottish. So, therefore, you know, they were like...
By blood,
yeah. He had the claim to the throne. He was Catholic. Protestants were becoming an issue. I don't know.
They were!
I mean, yeah, there is obviously more depth to that conversation. But, yes, in the eyes of this thing. So, according to Rejected Princesses, at one point during his onslaught against England, he sailed in two ships, one of which he put all the weapons and money into, and the other, all of his people. And one of them sank. Guess which one?
With the weapons and money.
Yes. So,
I mean, yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so he was not super bright. But he was winning battles, and the Scots were really excited about him.
No, his people were winning. The Scots were winning battles for him. He wasn't doing shit.
Fair.
Sorry, it's not my episode.
Yeah. So in August of 1745, even though her husband was off with the Black Watch, she spent weeks rounding up and recruiting about 350 men to fight with the Clan Chattan? Chattan?
Chattan, yeah.
Something like that. So she recruited 350 men to fight with this Clan regiment in the Jacobite
army. So she recruited people to be on the Black Watch, and then she recruited people to fight against the Black Watch.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Yep.
She's interesting.
I know. In late 1746, the cause would end once and for all, but earlier that year, Charles had a few successes, including one success that is less a military success and more a not-getting-killed success, that can pretty much be attributed entirely to Anne.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me.
The event was called the Rout of Moy on February 16th, 1746, and it is a favorite tale in Clan MacIntosh legendary. So what I got here, I came from electricscotland.com. Moy is the home of the MacIntosh chiefs. Prince Charles once stopped briefly at Moy early in his campaign against the English. Later in the campaign, Prince Charles and a guard of about 50 men reached Moy. As his forces were widely scattered, Charles decided to stop there and recuperate and, you know, just kind of like, I don't know why I chose to take a sip of my beer at that exact moment, but,
you didn't know where you were going with that sentence.
I was like, I have nowhere
recuperate
to go.
And generally
recuperate
just...
Moy is the home of the MacIntosh chiefs. Mm. Prince Charles once stopped briefly at Moy early in his campaign against the English. Later, he and a guard of about 50 men reached Moy, and as his forces were widely scattered, he decided to stop.
Nice.
Also, he probably stopped there because when he visited before and was like, yo, come back anytime, I am sincerely here for you, dude. Like, anything I can do to make your life easier, I wanna be there and do it.
Who said this?
Anne.
Okay.
So, he did, thinking... okay, I'm going to wait here until I've gathered enough more of my men, because he only had 50 of them with him at the time. So I'm going to wait here until more of my men get here, and then I can attack the English, who at the time were holding Inverness with 2,000 men, commanded by the Earl of Loudoun.
Yep.
The chief of MacIntosh was, of course, Angus MacIntosh, and he was with the Black Watch near Inverness on the side of the English. So he was not, thankfully, I mean, this is posited as a positive for this website. He was not...
posited as a positive. That was a beautiful turn of phrase.
Thank you. So he was not put in the embarrassing position of having to extend traditional Highland hospitality to someone who was technically his political enemy, despite being currently in the employ of England. Mm. So Lady Anne and her household staff, however, were like, come on in, there's room for everybody, like, my husband's gone, we will make you this huge feast, like, we will drink and dance until the wee hours of the morning while we wait for your dudes to catch up. Like,
very Scottish.
It'll be a party. Yeah, exactly. So Lady Anne insisted that the prince's cooking and serving staff take the evening off and allow her and her staff to prepare and serve a repast to the prince and his men. Game from the hills around Moy made up the main course in true Highland fashion. Breads, pies, and all the other treats the Moy kitchen could produce completed the meal. and the best Scottish Esquibo.
What?
Exactly. I was like, what the fuck? And it's spelled U-S-Q-U-I-E-B-A-U-G-H.
Wait, let me see this.
Esquibo. Otherwise known as whiskey.
Oh!
I had never heard that word. Esquibo.
Esquibo.
Otherwise known as Scottish whiskey.
Give me that good Esquibo, though.
Uh-huh. And it was passed around all night. So they had a great time telling stories, drinking, just generally being merry and happy. And in the meantime, the Earl of Loudon and his English soldiers in Inverness had learned that Charles was at Moy. So, yes, that is exactly the right reaction. Spill your beer all over your face. Basically, Loudon was like, this is the best time to bag that asshole while he doesn't know that we're here. Thank you. Thank you.
Bag that asshole.
I'm known sounds, for my turn of phrase.
That sounds like a weird sex act.
It could be.
It's the best time to bag that asshole.
You don't fucking know.
It's bagging an asshole.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what fucking...
Let's find out.
Let's find out. Okay. So he posted soldiers in a chain. Excuse me. He posted soldiers in a chain around Inverness. Gas happens. So that no one could escape to warn the prince. Then he ordered 1,500 English soldiers to march with the goal of arriving at Moy around midnight while everyone was in bed and fucking drunk off their asses so they couldn't do anything.
Oh boy.
This
is very dramatic.
It is.
Why wasn't this in Outlander?
I don't fucking know. So, but Lord Loudon's plan was not as secret as he thought. And I like this part because it introduces another... Scottish woman who, you know, was
Claire
like,
Fraser.
Fuck that. No.
Oh.
So historians offer differing theories as to what happened from here, but the most often cited one places the Dowager Lady Mackintosh, the mother of Angus, at the center of the action. She was fond of her daughter-in-law, and although she was not like, she didn't like the prince that much, but she didn't want her family home to be remembered as the place where the young royal was captured and possibly murdered. So, there's also a theory
she long-gamed it.
Yeah, she was like, I don't want history to remember my family in this way.
Yes.
So there's also a theory that Angus himself was the leaker of information, but...
Angus!
Well, because he's still a fucking...
Yeah, technically.
Clan? Yeah, anyway. So going with the theory that it was the Dowager, just for the purposes of our story, she got in contact with one of the Mackintosh clan, a kid who lived nearby, a teenager, who was smuggled out of Inverness by a Scottish soldier fighting for England, but still loyal to Scotland.
Slick.
Very slick. When Lady Anne got the news, she promptly jumped out of bed in her shift, according to one historian, and rushed about. I know, very sexy. Awakening the Moy staff. The historians say that she didn't awake Charles and his staff, probably because his military advisors would get together and go back and forth about what the fuck to do, and there wasn't time because there were 1,500 English soldiers marching.
Sure.
So she was like, who needs military advisors to tell us how to fight off English soldiers anyway? I will just do it. And so she got this idea, and she called for the blacksmith Donald Fraser. Fraser, there you go. There's a Fraser. She told him what she wanted to do, and Fraser left to put it into motion. I'll let you sit on that for a second. Oh, thank you. In the meantime...
Another sex act.
Wait, which is a sex act?
I'll let you sit on that for a second.
And action. She told him what she wanted to do, and Fraser left to put it into motion.
Fraser.
Mm-hmm. Fraser, yeah. I mean, it is F-R-A-S-E-R.
Yeah, Fraser.
Yeah. So then she woke the prince up. She was basically like, this is the plan. I've already put it into motion. So you just gotta sit tight and, you know, we'll just see what happens.
She didn't give them the opportunity to try and figure out what to do themselves. She's like, no, we're already taking care of it. We got it. Thanks.
Because she knew that the men in the room would fucking
too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they would make a problem out of it. So she had him get dressed. He took his guard with him into the nearby woods away from the road that Loudon would take to Moy. And they waited there. So in the meantime, Fraser, the blacksmith, armed himself and four other Moy men with pistols. 4. They posted themselves along the road Ludon would have to take to arrive at Moy. Uh-huh. When the first soldiers came near, Fraser called out loudly, "Here come the villains who want to carry off our prince! Fire, my lads! Do not spare them! Give them no quarter!" Fraser then shot his pistol, which was the signal to the 4 other men who awaited, and they started firing their weapons, calling for a bunch of clans, invisible clans, to advance their troops, as well as shouting the name of the major chiefs with the prince's army. And then they ran back and forth in the wooded area, shouting and shooting and making a fuck ton of noise, basically just trying to trick the English into thinking that the entire Jacobite army was advancing on them from the woods.
What?
And it worked.
What?
Yeah.
There were like 5 people total.
5 people total. So all 1,500 men turned and ran at top speed to Inverness. A great many of them deserted the next day. And the army quit Inverness for a safer camping ground.
Oh my god! They even left Inverness. They were like, we're too close to this. Mm-hmm. We gotta go.
Yeah, they were like, the entire fucking Jacobite army is there. We're on Scottish soil. Like, they're gonna fuck
we
our shit up.
We gotta peace out.
We gotta leave.
Yeah. Holy shit, because of 5 dudes?
Mm-hmm. So the event became known as the Rout of Moy. And
because of one woman.
Uh-huh, because she was like, hey, we don't actually need men. We don't actually need an army. Like, we just need them to think that we have an army.
Wow.
So the next day, Charles entered Inverness unopposed.
Wow.
And took up quarters in Dowager Lady Mackintosh's home, the finest residence in the city. Excuse me. He captured a bunch of English troops at this point. Guess happens. He captured a bunch of English troops at this point, including Angus, who he later released into the custody of his wife.
Into the custody of his wife.
Yes.
You're like, can you take care of him, please?
Take care of him. When they met, she greeted him with the words, "Your servant, Captain," to which he replied, "Your servant, Colonel."
Aww.
I know. Although Anne McIntosh never actually led Jacobite troops into battle, she got the nickname through her persistence in rounding up people and inspiring them to the cause. Prince Charles called her La Belle Rebelle.
Aw. Because he French.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Inverness remained the headquarters of the Jacobite army until the end at the Battle of Culloden. Culloden? Culloden?
Culloden.
Which was by then less than 2 months distant. After the battle, Lady Anne was arrested and turned over to the care of her mother-in-law, where she stayed on house arrest until the rebellion was quashed well and for good.
She was a woman, so she couldn't be that much of a threat.
No, yeah, of course
they
not.
Killed a bunch of the men at Culloden. Like, the Scottish were slaughtered.
Yeah. Well, and if they knew how many of those men she had recruited, maybe she would...
Right.
I don't know. Later on, some years later, she met the Duke of Cumberland at a social event in London. Mm. So I guess, like, things were, you know, a little bit more forgiven at that point, which she attended with her husband. Cumberland, with no sense of irony, asked her to dance to a pro-government tune, whereupon she jauntily returned the compliment by asking him to dance to a Jacobite tune. And he did.
He danced to a Jacobite tune? Mm-hmm. Did she dance to the...
She did. She was like, I will do this.
If you do this.
And they were like, all right.
It was probably like, hop, 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 hop.
Yeah. Yes. Well, so we'll clever. So you.
Let's make jokes out of all of this political discourse. And But it's cute.
Yeah. So she passed away in 1787. But obviously during the uprisings, she was a big deal.
Yeah. That's awesome. In 1787, you know, I mean, obviously in the 1770s, the British were preoccupied on multiple sides. Like, their American colonies mm-hmm. were like, fuck you. And the Scots were like, fuck you. And the British were pretty just fucked in general.
Yeah.
What?
Kitty.
I say as a person with quarter British DNA. Although, that could be Scottish, too. I mean.
Okay. Well, so, there we go. That is Colonel Lady Anne McIntosh. /Ferguson. La Belle Rebelle.
La Belle Rebelle. Lady Anne McIntosh.
Yeah, man.
What a boss. I can't believe she came up with an idea of, like, let's get 5 dudes together and scare off 1,500 men.
I know.
And it worked.
I know.
Because they couldn't see the trees for the forest.
Uh-huh.
Ah!
Nice one. Well done.
Thank you.
I just think it's so cool because she was so right that Charles' advisors would fucking walk around in that room and talk about, how do we get enough men?
And what do we do? And how do we, or we could do this. But then she was like, no, I've got an idea. Let's just do this.
Yeah.
Everything's under control. Bye.
It's, I don't know. And then also the fact that she recruited so many people to the cause.
She was clearly very charismatic.
She was very charismatic, even up to the end in England when she's being asked to dance.
That's so cool.
I love that.
That's so cute and quirky and like...
And good-spirited, despite everything.
Well, because she probably wasn't on the actual battlefield. Apparently, Culloden was just awful. I can't imagine the PTSD for any single, like, Scottish soldier who maybe survived. There weren't many.
Yeah, no, I think that was, because it was muddy and bad conditions and really just, it was a bad choice. It was a bad idea.
When I said I was going to bring the beer opener? Opener is a really funny word to say. Nope. It's gone. Fun word to say in a Scottish accent. I'll bring the opener. I've lost it. It's all right. I'm not great, but I'm okay. What Megan says, Megan always said, this is how she gets into it. She goes, "Welcome to BBC Glasgow, where our motto is, don't take the piss, or else we'll burn your fucking house down."
What is that from?
It's not anything. That's just a bunch of work. Because, like, one of the things is you have a phrase that helps you find the fucking oral posture that gets you into the accent. Mm-hmm. Welcome to BBC Glasgow, where our motto is don't take the piss, or else we'll burn your fucking house down. House down. All right? Sit down right now before I spank your bottom, okay?
And scene.
I love me a Scottish accent. That's a sexy fucking accent.
Ooh!
Sexy as fuck.
Oh my God.
Hannah.
Yeah.
What happened on this day?
In history?
In history.
Okay, let me tell you.
Let's continue this. I love this.
So, the day that this episode airs is May 16th. So, yeah?
4 months till my birthday.
Oh, well, that doesn't count for this day.
And 1 month since yours.
That's true. 1 month since mine. That's true.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Fuck.
When this episode airs, on the day that this episode drops, you will have been 30 for 1 month.
You shut your mouth.
You don't like that? You're 30! Yay! I'm the only one left in my 20s.
Oh my God. Gas happens. All right. On this day in history, 1568, to keep with our theme of Scotland.
Scotland!
Mary, Queen of Scots.
Fraser.
Flees to England.
Oh!
Mm-hmm. I didn't look up anything other than that. There's just that one little headline.
Well, that one's kind of perfect.
Yeah, I thought so too. In 1770, 14-year-old Marie Antoinette, the future Queen of France, married 15-year-old Louis, the future king.
The 15th.
King. Yep. Future King Louis the 15th of France.
That's going to go real well for them. I'm sure they have a bright future.
Yeah, I think that it's going to work out really well. I've heard some good things. You know, I like this one. In 1920, Joan of Arc was canonized as a saint.
Oh, on May 16th, 1920.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am. This one I thought was funny, but also made me realize it was indicative of a larger thing. 1947, Billie Holiday is arrested again.
Whoa, I was going to say.
Yeah, in her New York apartment for possession of narcotics. If you remember from my last episode...
She was arrested for sex work.
In 1929, at the age of 14, she was, on May 2nd, she was arrested with her mother for prostitution.
Sex work.
Yes. Although I'm sure the charge at the time was
prostitution. At 14?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. In 1929, yeah, she was 14. 1984, when Doves Cry was released by Prince. And it was the Billboard Song of the Year. I know. On this day, May 16th, 1984.
God, I love Prince.
I know.
So much.
I know. I kind of wanted to, I was going to leave it with that one, but I thought this one was important too. In 2005, Kuwait becomes the latest Muslim country to allow women to vote.
Oh.
Yep.
2005? What?
2005.
Jesus.
If you can fucking believe that.
Can women vote in Saudi Arabia? I know they just got the ability to drive. I feel like if they just got the ability to drive, they probably don't have the ability to vote. But I don't fucking know, so yeah. I'm not going to say that with any certainty.
Yeah, I guess my guess would be no, but I have no idea.
Wait. The status of women has changed in recent decades. Women were previously forbidden from voting in all elections or being elected to any political office. But in 2011, King Abdullah let women vote in the 2015 local elections, as well as to be appointed to the consultative assembly. There are more female university graduates in Saudi Arabia than male. And female literacy is estimated to be 91%, which is still lower than male literacy, but it's far higher than it was 40 years ago. The wow. average age at first marriage among Saudi females is 25 years.
Wow.
Says Wikipedia.
All right, so that kind of answers the question-ish.
Sort of. They can only vote in special circumstances, apparently.
Yeah.
Local elections.
Weird.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Hey, Deanna.
Hey, Hannah.
What are you excited about this week?
It's going to be real cheesy and hokey, but I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, please do.
So what I'm really excited about this week, and by the time this episode drops, it will have been like 2 weeks. I'm really excited about the new Harry Potter game that just came out on the phone. Because they've been hyping it forever. It was kind of hyped as being like the Pokemon Go of Harry Potter.
Oh.
But so far, it hasn't been real world in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
But it's still super fun. What I really like about it is that the story that's happening, and it is a new story. I won't give away any details of it, but it is a new story, a new plot. So it's not happening during Harry Potter's time, and it's not happening during Fantastic Beasts' time. It is happening, hello, loud car. It is happening at the time just after Harry Potter first defeated Voldemort. In 1981.
Wait, so the final battle of Hogwarts was 1998.
Yeah, but it was like right after Harry as a baby.
I know, so I'm like trying to survive
the killing curse. So he was born in 1980, so it was 1981 that he survived. So it's the 80s, theoretically, mm-hmm. that you're at Hogwarts as a student having your own plot.
Okay.
And it's really fun. I mean, it's kind of slow moving because it's one of those games where it's like you have a certain number of times that you're allowed to make a move or do something. You have an energy level.
Hmm.
And when you run out of energy, you have to wait until it refills. It's like every 4 minutes you get one. But or you could pay money and get it. And you know what I mean? Because it's a free game. It's a free game. So they have to have some way to monetize it, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But so far, it's fun.
Yay!
I'm enjoying it.
I like new Harry Potter shit.
And I made my avatar look like me. I made her...
Of course.
Her name is Olivia Bell.
Mm-hmm.
And I made her a Bell because I wanted her to be related to Katie Bell, even though if it's the 80s, she's there before Katie, so she's older.
Maybe she's an aunt.
Or an older cousin.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that.
We'll see.
I'm appreciative of that.
But it's fun. And I know Ben started playing it.
And
it's the I will say my review of like the wand situation and the house sorting, it's really just more like one question and you get your wand. And then the house sorting is basically like, what house do you want to be in? Because I guess too many people bitched in Pottermore. Too many people bitched in Pottermore where they're like, that's not my house, man. You should be able to, like, the sorting hat takes into consideration your choice. And it's like, yes, it does. But at the same time, but whatever. So you can pick your house.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a Ravenclaw. Because that's what I said. Because I'm on the cusp of Ravenclaw, Gryffindor, so I could be either or.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, it's fun.
Sometimes your temper makes me think you might be a Gryffindor more than a Ravenclaw.
That's what I'm saying is I'm super on the cusp.
I know.
I was a Gryffindor my entire young adult life, And then I never, yeah. like, Ravenclaw was my least favorite house. And then I took the Pottermore quiz when Pottermore revamped itself.
Yeah.
Remember? Because they were like, when you go in to do it again, they're like, do you want your old house with this account? Or do you want to take the Sorting Hat quiz again and see where it sorts you? And I was like, well, I'm a Gryffindor. I trust this to put me in Gryffindor again. And then it put me in Ravenclaw and I was so pissed off. And I was like, excuse me, I know what house I'm in and I'm definitely not a Ravenclaw. And then the moment that I said that, I was like, that is such a Ravenclaw thing to say. Where I was like, oh my God, excuse me, I think I know. I know for a fact because of all this empirical evidence that I am not. Fuck, I'm a Ravenclaw. But then I took it again. It's a thing. Every time I take it, it switches based off my mood. So I'm either a Gryffindor or a Ravenclaw. Like Hermione, she was almost a hat stall with a Sorting Hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it couldn't decide if she was a Ravenclaw or Gryffindor, and then ultimately put her in Gryffindor. McGonagall was the same way.
Yeah.
McGonagall was either a Ravenclaw or Gryffindor, and Professor Flitwick, either a Ravenclaw or Gryffindor, except for he went Ravenclaw and McGonagall went Gryffindor.
I like your... Ben's laughing.
Do you know who else in Harry Potter's year was almost a hat stall? So for those of you who are not Harry Potter fans, a hat stall is when the Sorting Hat takes longer than 5 minutes to put you in your house. Nobody in Harry Potter's year was a hat stall. Hermione was almost a hat stall. Neville was almost a hat stall. Do you know why Neville was almost a hat stall?
Why?
Because he argued incessantly with the Sorting Hat. The Sorting Hat immediately knew the second the hat went on his head. He was like, oh, you're a Gryffindor. And he was like, nope. No, thank you. I'm not brave. Trust me, I'm not brave. And the Sorting Hat was like, no, you're definitely a Gryffindor. And he's like, can I just be in Hufflepuff, please? And he kept arguing he wanted to be in Hufflepuff so bad. And the hat was like, no, you are not a Hufflepuff, you are a Gryffindor. And that makes me so emotional. Because Neville's such a Gryffindor. And it's just Neville's so perfect. I love him.
I don't think I can, like, come... I don't think I can say anything after that fucking mic drop.
That's what I'm happy about this week.
That was perfect.
Harry Potter stuff.
That was beautiful. Harry Potter is always worth...
I'm the biggest Harry Potter
loving. Group. I mean, well, yeah.
We all are.
I mean, yeah, especially people our age. But yes, Harry Potter is a cultural phenomenon. Oh, yeah. Well, hell yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. What do we do now?
Say goodbye.
We say goodbye?
Is it time? It's time.
I think it's time.
For the week.
All right.
Until next week, guys.
Until next week. Peace out, witches.
Bye, 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 bye. Bye.
Bye.
Kitty, do you want to say bye? Come here. Say bye.
Good job.
Kitty. Thank you for listening to Good Witches, Bad Bitches.
Thank you for listening.
You can find us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Blueberry, and more.
Basically anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Mm-hmm. If you like our podcast, it would be really helpful if you could please like and subscribe, rate and review, share with your friends on social media, word of mouth, all of that. It's great.
Yes, and you can find us on Twitter at GWBB Podcast. Instagram is the same, and we are on Facebook under Good Witches, Bad Bitches Podcast.
And hey, guess what? If you want to hear all of our episodes, they are all up at our website, gwbbpodcast.com.
If you have a story about a woman in your life that you want to share with us and that you want us to share on our podcast at some point, you can email us at gwbbpodcast@gmail.com.
Hey guys, you know what? If you like what you hear, maybe please consider a little bit of supporting us financially by visiting our tip jar. The link is in the show notes. Every little bit helps. It just kind of makes it so that we can keep this going, so that it has some longevity. So just think about it. See how you feel about it.
Or you can support this podcast directly by buying us a coffee on...
our Ko-Fi.
So that is ko-fi.com/GWBB podcast. Coffees start at $3 because that's generally the price of a fancy coffee, and it just helps us keep the ship going. Good Witches, Bad Bitches is produced by Moonbounce and powered by Pinecast.
Boom, boom, boom.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much for listening.